of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
It seems like Christmas, or at least Advent, here in the middle of August. We're more accustomed to hearing this text from the first chapter of Luke at that time, not at this time. That time when we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it is good to hear it today. This different context allows us to consider another aspect of this word of our Lord. So today, we consider the Holy Gospel for the festival of St. Mary, Mother of our Lord, under the theme, Blessedness, St. Mary's and yours. Though the largest part of Christendom recognizes such a day as this, making perhaps too much of it from our Lutheran point of view, another part has just as wrongly ignored it altogether. On the one hand, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and Anglicans all celebrate a day called the Dormition, or Assumption of Mary. On the other hand, the vast majority of Protestant congregations do not even realize there is such a day, and most likely would be offended that we celebrate St. Mary, Mother of our Lord, as we do this morning. Yet, it is good, indeed, God-pleasing, that the Church have a day like today to consider God's grace in the life of Mary. So let us consider this gospel set before us and see what we might learn from St. Mary, Mother of our Lord. And the best way to do that is to simply listen to her words again. What she says about herself and about the Son that she carries in her womb in that song that we call the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. All that Mary speaks in these Holy Spirit-given words bring glory to God alone. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary would exalt the Lord and every aspect of his gracious dealing with us, much as a magnifying glass or a zoom lens shows us wondrous detail. God is her Savior. This means that Mary is not without sin. She needs a Savior just like all of us. This she recognizes, confesses, and declares to all generations. Why she says that her spirit has rejoiced in God her Savior. And the reason for her magnifying and rejoicing is that God the Savior of all of us has regarded her lowly, humble estate. She is but a maidservant, even as we are all servants, and many of you being formed as servants in. There is no merit or worthiness in her or in us to warrant God's gracious attention. Yet he regards Mary and us with love and compassion and forgiveness and life and salvation because of his eternal and beloved Son, conceived and born of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Do we readily recognize our lowly, humble estate? We remind ourselves very regularly in confession of sins before divine service that we are poor, miserable sinners, humbled in the iniquity of our sin. But it's often easy to become proud, boastful of what we have and what we have accomplished, as if it were our own doing, instead of the gracious gift of God. And in a sermon text, in a sermon on this text, Luther has a way of cutting us down, but then bring us back up in 1532 in Wittenberg. He preached on the day of Mary's visitation these words: "The beloved Virgin adorns herself beautifully by not becoming proud of the honor she has of being the Mother of God, to give birth to the Son of God. No one would have been surprised had she succumbed to haughty arrogance and become more puffed up with Lucifer and his allies. For look how we act, bag of worms that we are. Everybody becomes proud and insolent when they possess something special, be it beauty, skill, money, rank. Passing grade for Greek, or whatever. Their arrogance knows no limit or bounds. Yet, everything is like the dust of the street compared to the great grace which the Virgin has here. Mary will cut the ground from under all arrogant people. She is the Mother of God and the greatest of women in heaven and on earth, yet she forgets all else. Every good thing, and with truly humble heart, sets out on her way." Mary's humble, godly example is a silent preaching that condemns our sinful pride. But she leads us from the law to the gospel. Her words move, and she shows that her soul truly magnifies the Lord as she rejoices in the Son she is carrying, who is her Savior. Through Mary's words, our eyes are directed to the Holy Son she bore within her at that moment, to the one who is the cause of John's leaping and of Elizabeth's exclamation, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Just as all the faithful, Mary would not call attention to herself, but instead directs us to God and his gracious work in Christ, our Savior. Mary is blessed because she was chosen by God to carry within her the very Son of God, who is the truly blessed and the blessing one. And all generations of Christians must know this blessedness, for it is a lesson and an example of how this blessedness occurs. God chooses Mary without any merit or worthiness in her, even before she is born. Consider the prophecy given by Isaiah: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And then in time, God brings his word to Mary's ear through his messenger: "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And by the work of the Holy Spirit, the Christ makes his dwelling in Mary as her and our Savior. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. By the gracious work of God in her and for her, Mary possesses the double portion we heard about in our Old Testament lesson. She is blessed to be the recipient of God's favor. She is blessed a second time to be the mother of our Lord. In fact, since the son she bears is none other than the true God and true human flesh, Mary is rightfully called by Christendom in general, and also in our Lutheran writings, the Mother of God. Blessed is she among women indeed, as the Formula of Concord lays it out in discussing the proper teaching and faith regarding the person of Christ. Therefore, we believe, teach, and confess that Mary did not conceive and give birth to a child who was merely, purely, simply human, but she gave birth to the true Son of God. Therefore, she is rightly called and truly is the Mother of God. Here we see in humble Mary a glimpse of our very own reality as the church, as children of God. In Christ, God has chosen you from the very foundations of the earth before you were conceived or born, without any merit or worthiness in you. In time, God has brought his word to your ear through his messenger and his means of grace. Your sins are forgiven for the sake of the blessed fruit of Mary's womb, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the coming of the Holy Spirit upon you through holy baptism and the preaching of the gospel, God has made you also his dwelling place. As the scripture says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Abide in me and I in you. By this we will know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. These means, the word and the sacraments, are the double portion God promises his people in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. Through the faith the Holy Spirit creates and sustains by these means, God has made his gracious dwelling in you, and you are blessed also among people. And now, in this Holy Supper, our gracious Lord very literally fills us who hunger and thirst for righteousness with truly good things, with his very body and blood of this Christ, to strengthen and preserve us in humble yet magnificent blessedness unto life everlasting. Blessed are you, for he who is mighty has done great things for you. He has clothed you with the garments of salvation. He has covered you with the robe of his